invite those who are able to please stand to honor the reading of our gospel lesson. Sorry. I didn't catch you before you said. Hear these words from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We started this Lenten sermon series in a junkyard, if you remember, reminding ourselves that when it all boils down to it, none of us are in showroom shape, are we? We've got a lot of dents, we've got some scrapes, some missing parts. Some of them are visible, others we try to do a pretty good job of hiding. Some of our brokenness has been our own doing. Other wounds have come through circumstances totally out of our control. In this last Sunday of the series, we're going to turn our focus to the restoration possibilities that are offered through Christ. Reverend Tom Boland, who has been our guide, introduces us to this smile of pure delight on Dan, the car restoration man's face. I think it's a good image of what God is hoping for us as well. With God's help, we can have and become so much more. And the farther we travel along the path, the more we allow grace to work within us, the more connected with the ways of Christ we become, the more joy and delight and fulfillment we will experience. This is a promise that God makes to us. But we can't just do a partial repair or just put on a little Band-Aid. Reverend Berlin reminds us that the destructive power of sin tries to tempt us that way. We say to ourselves, couldn't we just enjoy just a little touch of envy, an occasional fit of anger, just a teensy bit of lust? Couldn't we swear when we're out with our buddies? Swap just a word or two of gossip around the coffee maker? Yes, we can. And we certainly do. We slip. We fall. We mess up. All the time. But that's not what God is interested in doing for us. God is looking for us to be all in. God doesn't think our lives just need to be patched up. And if we're honest about it, that's probably not what we're really hoping for either. We want peace. Real peace. We want love. Lasting love. We want hope. Enduring hope. And God is working on and hoping for a full restoration. God wants to show us the amazing things that can happen when we cooperate with God's work in our lives. Charles Wesley, in his hymn, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling," puts it well. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Maybe we want to invite Christ into our heart, but we forget that if Christ is going to come in, as Reverend Boleyn says, he won't be there to take a nap. He'll get to work. He'll get to work with his putty knife and his paintbrush and his roller. But he'll also sometimes get to work with his crowbar and his hammer and his power drill and his nail gun. And what is the alternative Reverend Boleyn invites us to consider? He shares the story of a man from his church named Nadim, who is a Christian refugee from Pakistan. Because Nadim shared his faith with an employer at his business in Pakistan, extremists first harassed him and later threatened his life. He fled to Canada and then the United States, where he was held in detention for 2 months while he waited for his asylum request to be processed. When he was finally released, he had few friends, no family, and no way to earn an income. He cannot see members of his family who are still in Pakistan. He's troubled when he hears news of churches that have been burned by extremists there. He has connections to towns where Christians have been murdered. He has lost a great deal. Reverend Boleyn said that Nadim was part of a Bible study group where they were talking about Jesus' admonition to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The members of the class asked Nadim, "How can you possibly do that? How can you love the people who took away so much of what you had?" And his response was to say, "What's the alternative? If I choose not to love my enemies, what am I choosing instead? Bitterness, revenge, rage. Do any of those look good to you?" Reverend Boleyn suggests that Nadim has chosen the path of Christ's love, and in so doing, he has released the toxins of anger and of hate. And he challenges us to ponder that if we're intimidated by the idea of a full restoration, what are our other options? What percentage of God's image would we choose? Do we want 25% of God's love to dwell in us? Does 78% sound too lofty? Why would we settle for so little when God wants to give us so much? In reminding us how God offers a full restoration, Reverend Boleyn offers 4 things for us to hold on to as we invite God into our hearts and try to allow God to get to work. First, we trust in God's love. If you remember the experience of tandem skydiving that we looked at, we trust God has our back. God keeps those connections. God knows how this works, even if we don't. Second, we are confident in God's ability. He shares the image of a little boy who was trying to fly a kite on the beach. There wasn't any wind, so he wasn't being very successful. If only the boy knew to move just a few miles down the road to the sand dunes, where the wind blows most of the time, he could have learned a valuable lesson. We have to to give up trying to be the wind. We have to go where the wind is found. So much of our restoration comes through learning to position ourselves in the flow of God's Spirit. 3, we believe in God's future. That's part of what we're anticipating as we go through this Holy Week. The road to the cross is not an easy road, but we know the end of the story. We know what's coming, and that can keep us strong in the face of the journey. And 4, we believe that we can be perfected in love. Full sanctification is about becoming the blessing that God enables us to be in our community and in our world. When people love God and conspire with God's grace, they can have a profound impact on others. And the more we love God, the more we become aware of all of the opportunities to share that love. This week offers an important opportunity to reflect on this whole journey of restoration. We'll certainly be walking through the mess of betrayal and suffering and death, and we will have to face what Christ was willing to endure for us, and we ought to be honest about the part we play in his suffering even today. But there is purpose in it all. So perhaps you can use this week to think about the life God is offering to you. No fears, no regrets, just love. 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 Let us pray. Holy God, we just pray that you'll help us to open our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears and our spirits to you. We pray that you push through the barriers we may try to put up, trying to keep you out. That you forgive us for seeking other sources of power and hope and promise. And that we examine what it means to fully let you in to our lives and to our hearts. To use this Holy Week as an opportunity, as we walk with you, to invite you to walk with us through our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.